And that's just not something that needs to be perpetuated in an adult film.
Right.
Or in kindergarten, for that matter. This is the Black Market Toast Podcast, where we take a piece of media out of the cupboard, dust it off, toast it up, and serve it as something completely new. This is episode number 89, and this time we'll be jumping off of 1995 film Hackers. And I don't
go ahead
and speak, because I don't want to cloud your judgment on it.
Okay, so this movie was obviously made when the general public had no idea about computers.
Right, but, you know, they still don't, but...
Like, the general public had the same knowledge of computers as, like, my 77-year-old grandmother does right now.
Right. I mean, this was 1995, which is, the same time as Windows 95, obviously. But also the same time as, you know, that god-awful Matthew Perry and Jennifer Aniston Windows 95 commercial walkthrough thing. I don't know if you've seen that.
I have never seen that, actually, no.
Oh, my God. It is awful. It's like 30 minutes long, and yeah, it's terrible.
And they got the people from Friends to do it, because they're nice, non-threatening faces.
Exactly. Yeah, and they it is. You definitely need to watch that and just cringe for half an hour.
I don't know if I can do that.
I mean, it's cringeworthy, but not in exactly the same way that this movie is. This movie, they definitely they try for you know, graphic depictions where there aren't any in real life.
Right.
You know, it's not a realistic view of hacking. It is, let's make this look, you know, big budget and fancy, and make it look splashy and look, I guess, good on the big screen. The goal. So you end up with, you know, script floating, you know, around the screen with psychedelic colors and shit, and no, you just open up a friggin' terminal and start hacking away.
That's not how it works. That's not how any of this works.
But but it's still a fun romp, kind of. But there are definitely some things that have not aged well. Horrible toxic masculinity and some, you know, some transphobic stuff. And yeah, I mean, there's definitely stuff that is right. Not okay and, now.
I mean, but although to be fair, I wouldn't say like the hacker community per se, but there is a very like definite subset of like internet culture where this, you know, that does have that, you know, when you get in like past 4chan into like 8chan and all this kind of weird stuff. Well, I mean, like this stuff much still exists.
Right. But, you know, and they're somewhat progressive by having, you know, the two epic level hackers be, Asian and more than likely gay. So that was actually progressive for 1995. The entire plot of machismo to impress Angelina Jolie was, you know, just awful. And
yeah.
And who cares if he wears a dress on the date? But anyway. And also, who cares if she wears a dress on the date? If you want to go on a date with someone, it shouldn't be, there shouldn't be a bet involved. And
right. Yeah. You should never wager like your love and affection.
Yeah. The clothing worn on the date shouldn't also be part of that bet. Otherwise, yeah, you're not dating. You're just, you know, doing something weird.
Yeah. You're just being strange.
Yeah. And a lot of what's depicted goes back to, you know, the almost kindergarten age. If the boy if the boy hits the girl, then he likes her. And that's just not something that needs to be perpetuated in an adult film.
Right.
Or in kindergarten, for that matter.
Yeah.
So there's that.
There is that. What cracked me up was, you know, oh, he committed this big crime. He made the stock market drop 7 points.
Well, but and the thing is, he committed this crime in what it said like 1989, when it really wasn't feasible to commit that crime.
Right, right. There was an internet then, but it wasn't as prevalent or as it would have been relatively impossible to do that.
Right, right. Yeah, the Wall Street was still literally ticker tape. I mean, it was a paper business. Yeah, it was a paper business. You couldn't hack into Wall Street in 1989 and make a difference. You could hack into the FBI maybe, but all you're going to get is their rudimentary email system, which isn't going to have much in it. Just traffic, between two people talking about things, which they probably wouldn't discuss much on the email. So.
Right, because it was considered a new and, kind of uncommon form of communication for the time.
Right. I mean, you could jump into the CIA or the FBI's freaking bulletin board system, which, it is not the internet. But it was a rudimentary form, and everybody knows somebody who says they did it.
Of course.
You call in there and it's a dead end. There's nothing there. But it's, I hacked into the CIA. Okay. But yeah, there was nothing you could do with that in 1989, which is when he supposedly made this stock market crash happen. And then he wasn't allowed to touch a computer until his 18th birthday.
Yeah, which makes no sense at all either. Like, that's your punishment? Like, oh, you're not allowed to touch a computer or a dial tone phone.
Yeah, or, yeah.
Like
yeah,
a touch tone phone.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, yeah, because nothing that he had anything to do with, he didn't do anything with phone freaking,
no.
Which is what it's called when you go to a payphone and make it. It actually kind of tells you how to do it in the movie. It's
yeah. If you pay attention, you can find out a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, and yeah, you got to get a little more involved with what they say in the movie. But yes, you could definitely play tones into the phone and make it think that you put in the coins. That was a thing that could happen. But there aren't any payphones anymore, and pretty much you don't pay for long distance calls anymore, so it doesn't matter. So
yeah, it's as archaic as the majority of this film,
unless you're calling internationally.
And even then you kind of have to be like calling off continent at this point. Like a lot of services are now like free to Mexico, free to Canada. Really have to be dialing like overseas to have to, like, to deal with that.
There has to actually be a C involved with overseas. Yes.
Except South America. You can kind of get there through Central America.
Yeah. We made that overseas by cutting Panama in half.
That's true. There is technically a sea there. It is the Panama Canal.
It's man-made, but whatever.
It's the
salt water. There's salt water running
sea.
Through.
Yeah. It's a body of salt water.
Yes.
But yeah, it was funny in a way because, we both grew up with computers, we both grew up interested in computers and doing things like that. And it was funny to go back and sort of see how things were back then. This was probably closer when you were actually in high school.
Year out of high school, actually.
Okay.
I graduated in 94, so it was a year after. And the Pentiums had just come out in 94.
Yep.
So they had to one up that by saying P6, which is not a thing that ever occurred. They just kept reiterating Pentium, because the technology for Pentium is basically what we kind of still have today.
No, it is. It's the backbone of all modern processors.
Yeah. So, and you know, Pent is 5. So they were like, oh, it'll go to 6, you know, because Pentium was basically the 586 architecture. But it's not 586 architecture. So they had to change the name because previously it was 286, 386, 486, Pentium. They went with P6 because that was actually the rumored name for the next series of chips, and that never came to fruition. But then again, it makes as much sense as all the other techno babble they throw in just gratuitously throughout the film.
Right. But, I mean, they could do that because, I mean, you could tell they actually had people with decent computer knowledge working at least consulting on the film, but they also knew that the majority of their audience had no idea what they were talking about.
They looked at, you know, the spec sheet for 10 computers and went, okay, this is what we need to say.
Right.
There probably wasn't an actual computer engineer ever consulted. They just went to the friggin' CompUSA catalog and looked at what the descriptions were.
Yeah.
At best.
But, and yeah, and it's, I don't know. This was the first, I guess this was kind of the first movie where I was really kind of fascinated by computers.
Okay.
And it, obviously it was fleeting because I don't do anything with computers now, but.
Yeah. Cause I mean, if you think hacking is going to be a psychedelic experience where, you know, all kinds of symbols are mysteriously floating on your screen for no reason, and that viruses have huge, you know, animated videos involved with them that right. give you the James Bond villain breakdown of what you're doing, then you right.
Well, I mean, but you also have to look at it. I was looking at it probably when it came out on TV, so it was probably 98, 99.
Okay.
So, I mean, for me being a, like, 13, 14-year-old kid, 15-year-old kid,
yeah.
I was like, oh, so I can just go to my, you know, it was fascinating to think, okay, I can go to my computer and access all of this crazy stuff and,
yes.
you know, actually be able to do something, you know, on a large scale without ever having to leave my house.
Yeah, yeah.
As long as I have insane skill and a little bit of luck.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I got to it when it was probably on video. I'm sure I did not see this in the theater.
Very few people did.
Really? Because it had huge hype. They hyped the shit out of this thing.
So, like, just looking at Wikipedia on it, the budget... Mm-hmm. was $20 million. It made $7.5 million at the box office.
Okay, well,
which even in the mid '90s is not good.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, that's a $12 million hit. You know.
Yeah.
So yeah, I watched it on VHS, and it's actually one of those guilty pleasure movies, or it was. It was for a while. It's pretty awful now.
Yeah, this isn't a movie that probably has a great shelf life or will ever have a revival.
Yeah.
It actually might be a film that could be rebooted.
Maybe.
You know, but, I think at least the concept could age.
Yeah. Which, you know, it kind of has been with Mr. Robot.
Yeah. Yeah.
But
I always want to call it Dr. Like, I always call that show Dr. Robot, and it always cracks me up.
Dr. Roboto.
Well, no. Dr. Robot is actually a beer that a local brewery releases that I actually very much enjoy. And yeah, so yeah. I always just call the show Dr. Robot, too, because association.
Yeah, and Mr. Robot is a much better depiction of
what it actually is. Yes.
Hacker society, you know, despite the psychiatric issues depicted as well.
I've actually had people that I know that have done some nefarious type things go, it is a little freaky how accurate it is.
Yeah, yeah. They did their homework on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, there were computer people in with that one.
Yeah, yeah. God, the security room hackers. Oh my God.
Yeah.
You know, just basically large panes of glass with holographic code scrolling on it. And it's like, where is this? What is this?
It's the prequel to The Matrix is what it is.
But it's not even that, because those are on CRTs.
Yeah, well.
it's the prequel to what Blade, which when they had, but those were all freaking, those were all like papyrus in glass sheets hanging in the room. But yeah, anyway.
But yeah, I mean, but it was, I guess, was this Angelina Jolie's like first big role?
Yeah, I think so. The biggest, you know, the first big role I can think of. She's a child of stars. So yeah. She was in, she was in all kinds of shit through her childhood, but this was the first kind of big budget thing that came out with her.
She had done Cyborg 2.
Yeah, which was straight to video.
Straight to video.
Yeah, yeah. She was fine. Johnny Lee Miller was fine in it. It's just the material they were working with was not great, to say the least.
No, but that being said, it was probably as good as it could be
at the time.
I think so. I mean, when you consider what who was making it.
Yeah.
What things were at the time and how it had to be presented and dumbed down for the audience, I think it probably was as good as it could be. Probably 5 to 10 years before its time.
Yeah, well.
Because if you make that movie in 2000, when Windows 95 and 98 and all that have been out and everybody's.
Yeah.
Like the home computer has really, truly, honestly gone nationwide.
Well, what you do is you make it in 1999 as Y2K is
that
is,
would have been absolutely perfect. Actually, and that's make a it fantastic a idea.
Y2K, you know, a Y2K scare / end of days movie because we had all those coming out in 1999 as well.
Right.
So yeah, you make it this freaking apocalyptic hacker movie, and that might have been good.
That would have at least given them a lot more to work with than the kind of half contrived plot line that they did wind up working with.
And move it out of a high school.
Put these kids at least in college to where they're, you know, at least of a credible age to be doing what they're doing.
Make it where he's not doing this within 2 days of getting his computer back at age 18. Yeah.
Right, where he hasn't actually, he hasn't touched a computer in 7 years, but magically remembers all this stuff.
Yeah, magically everything is still relevant from 1989 to 1995.
Yeah. Right, because coding languages didn't change or anything like that. No, you know, it's,
And everybody had the same, everybody who has been hacked in those 5 years hasn't changed any of their interface information at all.
Right. They just left it the way it was.
Yes. Yeah. So what do we want to spin off to from there?
I don't really know. It's well, mainly because like computers and hacking and stuff like that has kind of, it's become a tool of certain arms of the media to, you know, with the demonization of Anonymous and things like that, it had, I guess hackers had gotten not necessarily a bad name, but have gotten,
Americans
had gotten blamed
just
for a lot of stuff that they probably shouldn't have. They become a very convenient scapegoat. There we go. Yeah. They've been a very convenient scapegoat.
But at the same time, you know, Americans aren't on the top of the world at hacking.
And oh God!
Haven't been for a long time.
And the reason for that is, and I will take this from an unnamed friend of mine who has had this happen to him. The FBI refuses, like you have to pass a drug test to work for the FBI. And most of your higher end hackers are not going to pass a drug test, nor will they want to, nor are they the kind of people that want to work for the FBI.
Well, I not so much even on the government side. Our hacker community isn't up to par with the rest of the world.
No, it's really not. But I mean, a lot of these other countries like North Korea and China and Russia, they are government funded.
Yeah, they are government funded, and those are good jobs and they pay well.
Right.
And so, yeah, we aren't funding hackers. You know, if you're a hacker in the U.S., if you're doing it for money, you're going to get busted and you're going to get busted hard. If you're doing it for altruistic reasons, then you're doing it in your spare time.
Right. And even then, you're probably still going to be demonized for it.
Yes.
You know, because inevitably altruism clashes with capitalism.
Right. Because,
it's just the way the world works.
Even if Robin Hood wasn't stealing for the money, he was still, you know,
stealing. Yeah.
Demonized by the sheriff. Yes. Yeah. Yeah, the powers that be.
Right. So it's, but yeah, you're right. No, we have fallen way behind the rest of the world in hacking and really in computer technology in general. And it's very sad because this used to be our thing.
Yes.
But
yeah, I mean,
when you have 80-year-old men running the government, that's not an important thing to them.
Right.
Because it's not something of their time. And, you know, a concept that they're familiar with, grew up with, and understand.
Right.
So we should probably vote the octogenarians and the septuagenarians out of office. Maybe have a more modern government?
No. That would be crazy.
If you say so.
What, we had a Gen X president for 8 years.
That's true, but the problem was...
And things were moving generally in a positive direction for 8 years. Anyway...
Yeah, it wasn't perfect by any stretch, but I mean, still the backbone of the government is 60, 70, 80-year-old men, 60, right. 70, 80-year-old men.
Right.
And these aren't, listen, if you've ever met an old man, odds are they're pretty fucking resistant to change.
Yes.
And they don't like things they don't understand, and they think that their way is the best way.
And they think some frat boy from Yale is superior to anything else in the world.
Than literally any woman, anywhere, anytime.
Yeah. Yeah. So there's that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely definitely a heavy week to be a non, and neither of us would know this, but I can see the stress and feel it from literally any person I know in my circle of friends that is not a white, straight male.
Yeah. Well, and if you're a white, straight male that, you know, stands up for anyone who is not, then you are going to be demonized as well at this point.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So let's hope that doesn't continue for any large continued period of time. It's gone on long enough, really.
Yeah, it really has. I mean, I try to look at it from a larger historical perspective and say, you know, very rarely do societies become less progressive over time. You know, there are steps back, but inevitably the slow, you know, glacial process of time will, you know, societies will become more progressive as they go along. But yeah, well, it doesn't make the present time suck any less.
Yeah, I mean, in a larger historical perspective, the United States has only been around as long as the Mongolians ruled Rome.
Right.
Which you don't learn about that, do you?
No.
So there.
It's not convenient.
Yeah. The U.S. is a blip on the historical map at this point. We are only a couple of hundred years old.
Well, you know, on top of that, you know, women have only had the right to vote like 35-40% of that time.
Right.
You know, there's only been civil rights, you know, in this country for like 15% of that time.
Yeah.
Maybe 20.
Yeah. I mean, we're moving forward despite the government, and who knows what that's going to look like in the near future.
Yep.
Yeah.
Is that where we want to wrap it up?
Not really, but
with gloom and doom and inevitable, you know,
and you know, it is Halloween month, so
it is Halloween month.
We have to be spooky and leave you with something truly scary to go into the next
truly, truly frightening,
truly frightening, which is the white men around you,
yeah,
all of them, yes. fear us because we are shit.
Yep. We have a long, very well detailed history of us being pure shit.
Yes. Yes. That's, I guess we're going to wrap up
here. I guess that's it then.
I guess that's it then. We're shit. Please continue to listen to us.
Yeah. Yeah. We're shit, but our podcast is decent. So
yeah. Because we talk about how shit we are.
Exactly.
And that's what makes it good. I actually laid down, you know, kind of
a schedule, which is awesome.
For what we're going to be doing. So next time, you know, it'll still be Halloween month.
So we will
jump off of the Hugh Jackman, Kate Beckinsale vehicle, Van Helsing,
which is a fun movie. I'm excited for this one,
which is a fun movie. And we'll have a lot.
Hopefully
more fun,
less depressing things to talk about. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. We, yeah. As long as the world doesn't spiral even more out of our control before next time, we will try to talk about the movie.
Yeah.
And how fun it is.
Yes.
And not this shit. We swear.
We'll do our best.
We'll do our best.
Our level best.
We swear that we will do our best. And that is all that we can do.
Yep.
And with that, we are, you could follow Black Market Toast on Facebook. And you are?
I'm That Joe You Know on Instagram.
And we will talk at you next time.
Bye-bye.
Tear down.